right, good singing all the way around. It's just a blessing from on high. I appreciate getting to see this bass fiddle. Is that what it's called? Huh? Bass fiddle, is that what it's called?
Double bass.
Double bass? I guarantee you, as big as it is, it ought to be two or three basses. That's good. Good job, by the way. And on that right there. And so I was impressed when you picked it up. I could barely pick it up myself. And so anyhow, good job all the way around, all that singing that we've had. I like that part in that song there when Miss Lori got through singing just now. I like that part whenever that man from Snowy River, his horse got saved. And they always, some of you don't know that, hadn't watched that or not. Yeah. Well, it happened. You can just believe that. Under Hollywood standards. Somebody said, hey, you don't think a horse can get saved, do you? Well, I don't know, but he's got that same note in there. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4. I can tell you right now, are you happy? Do you know the Lord and the free pardon of sin? Well, if you're happy, you ought to tell your face about it every now and again. You know, I'd hate to know that I lived with this little laughter as the average Baptist does. Not here, not in this good crowd here, but I mean, you know. I mean, most places you go, they're like, you know, they're just stiffened and just absolutely. You can't get an unholy grunt out of them like that right there. And so in the book of Matthew chapter 4, you find the place you're able to stand. Look, if you will. We're going to read one verse for getting started out, verse 17. And he said, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee there's none else. Now, save the lost and lift up the downhearted and set the captives free. We'll thank you in advance for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 17 that we just got through reading. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I want to tell you something. When you begin to read that, Jesus had just come out of a controversy with the devil himself. In fact is, when you read over there in Matthew in chapter 4, the very first part of it is that he had already fasted 40 days and night, and afterwards he was hungry, and the devil came to him and spake to him, and as a result of it, he said, if you're the Son of God, you ought to command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus told him and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, you know, it's important that you circle that at least in your heart. I've got a sermon somewhere that I preached way back when entitled 20th Century Trash in the Pulpit. And what that is any version and every version, and of course it majored on the NIV version, what trash that is that's being used by preachers and pulpiteers or so-called preachers and pulpiteers in the country in the day and hour we live in. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, I just wanted to remind you that man is to live by every word. Now, their argument is that, well, we want to believe, the concept is the same. It doesn't say, Jesus didn't say, man shall live by every concept. No. Every word is important in the mind of God. That tells me God says what he means and means exactly what he says. And when you begin to look into it, you're going to find out that all these other versions of the Bible is that there's a passage, don't lose your text, but it's over in the book of Proverbs, and I think it's in chapter number 30, and it's about verse number 5 and 6. And all these other versions, they've got some kind of loophole religion. And in fact, there's times, many times, that they'll omit the name God out of a passage. Now, how could you omit God from a passage and make it a better verse? You can. Is that over in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 30, verse 5 and 6, here's what he said. Every word of God is pure. Not every concept, but every word that God has given is pure. It's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found to be a liar. I got to tell you, it's a very serious thing in the mind of God that when we look into it. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with that because we're just repeating a couple of truths that ought to be sunk down into your heart. But the NIV has 64,098 word changes, and it's the most popular, pathetic version that's on the market. Over 64,000 words that have been changed, 64,098 words. The New American Standard has had over 36,000 word changes. The New King James Version, when they tell you, well, you know, it's closer. This got over 5,000 word changes. Now, let me tell you right now, is there no two ways in ten about it that the devil wants to do what he can to be able to get people away from the Word of the Lord? And so as a result of that, you know, there's a whole lot of difference between coming into a house or coming unto a house. One of them you wound up inside. The other one you're still outside and you just hadn't made it in yet. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, when Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know that's the same exact message that John the Baptist was preaching when he came on the scene? Matthew chapter number 3 verse 2. The Bible said when he came preaching in the wilderness, John the Baptist that is, and he says in verse number 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I want to tell you right now is talk about two very vital passages. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and Christ the Lord is preaching the same message. People need to repent. You know, the old timers used to climb into the pulpit. They'd preach heaven real and hell hot, buddy. And as they'd get into the pulpit, their message was always, you turn or burn according to the Bible. And that's true, isn't it? I got to say to you that where there is no repentance given and no faith given and no grace given, you'll wind up without hope, without God, and burning a devil's hell. And that's the reason they were singing about that, heaven or hell. It's just a heartbeat away. And there are going to be a lot of people one of these days when their last heart beats. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that there's nothing in this message about Christ that Christ gives or John the Baptist gives. There's nothing in there about the church. That's something, isn't it? Did you realize and know that when you begin to look over in the book of Daniel, don't turn there, chapter 2 and about verse number 44, you'll find the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is set up. And you're going to find out here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20, if you were to look at it, you'll find the church is not being set up. Church is being built. See the two different things there? Let me say to you, when Jesus Christ comes on the scene over there in Matthew chapter number 16, about verse number 18, he goes on and tells us is that upon this rock I'll build my church. He's in the church building business. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I can tell you right now is that's the reason why hell's a-raging on every turn and corner that you've got. He'll sometimes raise up a knuckleheaded man. Sometimes he'll raise up a mean, evil woman. Sometimes he'll you see what I'm talking about? The devil's got nothing whatsoever to lose, he thinks. He's already lost it. And one of these days, he's going to be able to pull back the curtain of time and show us what the devil and the imps of hell and all that rejected the Lord and tried to come against him. I want to say to you that, if you will, that whenever the Lord saves you, the Bible said over in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse 47, that when the Lord saves you, that he added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you know there's no such thing that if you'd circle that in your heart and your mind, there's no such thing as being saved by the grace of God and not being in the church of the living God? Do you know that? Is that when people tell you all the time, well, you know, I got to tell you something. I just don't believe in modern day religion. I don't either. But I believe in the Holy Ghost, heaven sent religion. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said and every word that he said. You see, in this Bible lesson, as that whatever he talks about, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, let me tell you something. The kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of God, whenever you begin to look into it, here's what the kingdom of heaven is set all about, is that when you look at the kingdom of heaven being at hand, you're going to find out you're looking at something that's on the way in, but the church is on the way out. See that? Now, I'm not just looking. See, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're busy about wanting to be able to be in the kingdom and help run the kingdom and so forth and on. Now, they're not going to be in neither. They're going to be without hope, without God, and I'm sad to say that. And make no mistake about it, anybody that denies, in fact, don't lose your place here, but look over there in the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, people think that I'm mean and cruel, and I know that I am, but it's still, look in John, 2 John, in the chapter that's over there. And there's a passage that we ought to be looking at. And here's what he says when you begin to look over there in that passage. In that Bible passage there is, where is it? All right, hereby, chapter 4, 1 John, in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Now, hey, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. In other words, you better check by the Bible when you're listening to somebody about what thus saith the Lord. Verse number 2. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Notice, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Look at that. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of the Antichrist, and wherefore you have heard that he should come, and is even now already in the world. Now watch that and see that. You know how you can tell when somebody is of God or not? What they believe about Jesus Christ. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he's God incarnate in human flesh, that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do you believe that Jesus and the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God incarnate in human flesh? If you say no, you're hell bound. And the witnesses, I always call them Jehovah's Witness or witnesses of Jehovah without Christ. They're not witnessing for Jehovah. They're being exposed by the Lord. And let me tell you right now, they're not interested in what thus saith the Lord in every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the kingdom is coming. But I'll tell you, the church is on its way out going. We're going to be going up and going out. Now, until then, we're going to be able to meet together like this, sing the songs of Zion. We're going to be singing songs about heaven and about hell and talking about right and wrong and talking about righteousness and unrighteousness. And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the deity of Christ and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see all of that. By the way, did you know they deny that? They deny that Jesus Christ and God the Father are equal. See, people are always doing this here, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That ain't the way it is. It's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. What that is, they're all on the same plane, buddy. They're all equal. They're all of them God. And make no mistake about it, is that you're going to find out is that God the Father planned this thing, and God the Son purchased this thing, and God the Holy Spirit performs this thing in your heart and in your life. Make no mistake, he does for us what we could not do for ourselves. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out when the Lord saves, I said to you that he adds to the church. There's a passage over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you'd like to turn to it, you may, and if not, you can just listen. But in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's in chapter number 4 that we're going to be looking at. And in that passage there, that when you begin to look at it in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, at about verse number 16, here's what he says. For the Lord himself shall send from heaven, and with a shout, shall descend from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, where's the Lord? Right now, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me and for those that shall be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Right now he's at the right hand of the Father. But he's going to descend one of these days from heaven. And then in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I got to tell you right now, the world's in a mess. It always has been. It is right now, and it will be tomorrow. But make no mistake about it. One of these days, the Lord's going to descend from heaven. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain are going to be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The kingdom is coming, but the church is going to be leaving. I noticed another thing about this in Matthew chapter number 13. If you turn there in about verse number 47, there's a passage that we ought to look at. And here's what he says in verse number 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now watch this here. This net is not like a drag net that they're pulling behind a big boat. This is a net like a man throws a cast net and drags in. And notice, if you will, the kingdom of heaven is like that. And the net that's thrown into the sea is going to be gathering of every kind. Some of it's going to be good, and some of it's not going to be so good. Which when it was full, the Bible said, they drew it to shore and they sat down and they gathered the good into the vessels, but they cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world when the angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want you to watch and want you to see that, if you will, please, that they're going to take the good vessels and they're going to put them into a, they're going to put the good into a vessel designed for that. They're going to take the bad and they're going to do something and sever it from the wicked among the just and so forth. And there's going to be a crying time of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51, Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. And then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. Now I want to ask you this here, is that when it comes down to the end of the world, whenever he severs the wicked from the just, you know what that means, don't you? He slices them off. He cuts them out. I want to tell you right now is, if the Lord were to come, I'm not going to be severed from anybody. I'm a child of the King. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now and you'd be there with me too. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I've been saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen, God came knocking on my heart's door and I said, yes, Lord, and by faith, when he gave me faith and repentance, I repented toward God and by faith believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I don't know why you wouldn't be, as much preaching as you've all heard. I could ask you, what in the world are you waiting for? Well, you know, there's so many other people that have got me a little bit messed up. And let me just ask you this. When are you going to take your eyes off of everybody else? There's not a person in this building, if you put your eyes on them, that you're not going to find some flaw with. Unless it's one of you little silly girls that sees somebody you like that's a boy, and then he can't never do no wrong until after you marry him. There's going to be a few faults that's going to surface after that you said, I do. In the day we live in, do you know, it's a lot harder right now to live for God than it was back whenever I came into the world. I didn't have a telephone that had all kinds of porn, had all kind of warped-minded porn seekers on it. I wasn't able to turn on there and find profanity and nudity and godlessness and people that are perverted in their thinking that are going to do what they can to try to seduce your sons and your daughters. Now, I'm going to tell you right now is, if you're having to hide what you're doing, something's wrong deep down in your soul. It's See what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, oh, there's a way around your mom and daddy. I mean, they're dumber than a bunch of rocks. You think. But, oh, they're not. I got to tell you right now is that if you want to be a cheater, you'll find a way to do it. And I'm not talking about marriage per se, but that too as well, and on that right there. And if you decide you want to be a cheater elsewhere in life, oh, yeah. Here's the deal right here. Do you realize at all that if you look at the pages of the Bible, that there are people that absolutely thought they were getting by with something, but God heard it, and God saw it? See what I'm talking about? Do you remember that out of all the lessons that are in the Bible, there's a mighty man of that. I'm talking about used by the hand of God. He was stronger than any man's ever been. There's a man by the name of Samson, and no doubt he thought that he was going to slip one past God, but he lost his testimony and he lost his own life. And Israel lost a champion. We could go on and on. I want to say to you that if you will, it's not Samson that we're having to worry about this morning. It's you. And it's you. And it's you. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier just to do the right thing the right way? I mean, it would be. See? I've had people, you know, that are on the job. And listen, I grew up around people. I've had to work with people that lied, cheat, connived, commit adultery, fornication, and everything under the sun. And I've worked with people that were like that all of my life, but I didn't drink with them. I didn't dope with them. I worked with an old boy one time, and he looked up and said, "Well, I guess my old hide's coming. I better get ready for lunch." My old hide. Some of you will be using that thinking it's cute, and you're liable to get old hide's foot stuck up your behind. I said all that to be able to say this. I don't care how far you go. I don't care how much you think you're getting by with what you're hiding in sin. There's a pedophile out there waiting to get a hold of you. You boys may not think too much about somebody that wants to molest a young boy. There are people that give high dollar money to be able to have young men like you. There's people that would give a whole lot of money to be able to get a young lady just like you. In fact, is that what do you think? What do you think the president's always in a scandal for? And that Epstein fella that died and went straight to hell and this dragon out of... I'll tell you why. It's because that Epstein had an island somewhere and he was selling boys and girls to those nasty politicians. I want to say to you that, if you will, that you're very fortunate to have somebody that's a godly mom and daddy that'll try to teach you better and lead you better and steer you better. See? You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, just so you'll know it, there's some cougar out there that's an older woman that wants a younger man. She can't do nothing but think about you. She's planning how to be able to go ahead and finally get a hold of your heart and your mind. And whenever she does, hey, there's some lesbian out there that's looking at you beautiful gals. You better go slow when it comes to a lesbo. Say no to a lesbo. Some of these men here, they know what it's like. I guarantee you right now, there's somebody on the job they're on. I guarantee you there is somebody on the job where they go that would like to be able to mess up their mind and mess up their life for the rest of their life. You know, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony for God. Salvation's free, but you're going to have to build your testimony. Salvation's free by the grace of God, but you're going to have to stand up and say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and yes to God, or you're going to be messed up along the way in life. Now, I can tell you this, it'll take a whole lot longer to rebuild your life than it did before you messed it up. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you're thinking, well, I'm not interested in it. There's a passage in Jeremiah. I think it's over there in chapter 5. And if you'd like to be able to find it, you can. And we'll look at it just here in a moment before we pass on off of this sermon. But over there in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter number 5, and your attitude may be just like these people here, and the majority of the world thinks just like this here. In Jeremiah chapter 5, it's in about verse number 31. I want you to watch what he says. In the passage he said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own means. And my people love to have it so. Now watch this here before we read the last part of that phrase. They had preachers that were false preachers, prophets that were false prophets. They had a lesson that was contrary to the mind of God that appealed to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And here's what he ended up saying was, whenever that took place, and he said, and my people love to have it so. All right, now, that's fine if that's what you want, but look at the last phrase. And what will you do in the end thereof? Now, here's the way that's going to work. I look around across here and I see godly mamas and godly daddies. And I can promise you right now, you're worth your weight in gold whenever it comes to the kingdom of heaven, when it comes to the church of the living God. I bless the Lord for you. But you know what's going to happen to some of you boys and girls, some of you young men, and some of you young ladies? You're going to keep messing around and sporting with this and sporting with that and thinking that I don't know nothing, they don't know nothing, nobody knows anything but you or sweet thing that you're messing with. And there's going to be absolutely something like a nasty lockjaw juror that comes as though that he sprints charm in one of these days to you. And if you're not careful, your life will be so messed up then, you'll look back and think, I wish I'd have listened to my daddy. I wish I'd have listened to my mom. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, I'm glad that I don't have to live it for you. I'm concerned about you. But as a result of that, make no mistake about it, I'm not going to have to give an account to God for you. I've got to give an account for what I will say and won't say and what I do preach and don't preach and how I do live and so forth and on. I've got to give an account to God. And I've got to give an account to God for telling you the truth of God or not. But I want to tell you something. God says, all right, you don't want to live for me. You don't want to listen to the truth of God. What will you do in the end thereof? If you were to go by a cemetery, you're going to find there's graves that are as long as I am, or some of them long as you are, and some of them that are little old bitty graves. Because death is no respecter of persons. And let me tell you, one of these days, you're going to be able to be called before the Lord. And here's what happens. What shall you do in the end thereof? Now, in close, then I want to tell you, Jesus said over there in the book of John, chapter number 8, and about verse number 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you realize to know today is what you need is the truth of God? You know what you're going to need tomorrow? Truth of God. See that? And let me just tell you right now is one of these days, some of you young fellows, some old gal, you know, that looks like she's got long spider web legs reaching out from underneath all of her mascara, beating them eyes at you. You know, God says something about that in the book of Proverbs, about the means of a whorish woman. Yeah, he does. And let me just tell you that right up front, just without beating around the bush, there's going to be a lot of times you're going to be tempted by the world, the flesh, and by the devil. And in closing, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Do you know the truth will work for today? And it'll work for tomorrow. And if you would have let it, it would have worked for you yesterday. Let me tell you, truth's always the truth. Makes no mistake about it. Don't matter where you go, what you do, so forth and on. Do you want to have some fun in life? Sure. Sure you do. But I want to tell you something is that, do you know the Bible says, I mentioned the other day about all in the tragedy, and my heart bleeds for those families. of those that lost children out there in the hill country. But do you realize that, oh, there's been some people that said it right? Man, what a curse. That is true. There's a passage ought to hit our minds. I'll remind you what it is. The curse causeless shall not come. There's a reason why that you've got the mom and daddy you've got, that you've got the preacher you've got, that you've got an opportunity laid before you that maybe your parents did not even give you. Boy, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Now, in closing, and I'm going to be done. This is about my third or fourth close, but here it is. Do you realize or know that if you mamas and you daddies are not careful, you will allow your children to end up doing the very thing that destroys them in life? You better learn to say, no, we're not doing this and not going that route. One of these days, whenever your belly button's punched wrong side out, you're not going to hide that long. It's a blessed thing in the confines of marriage. But you know what happens? We got so many pregnant girls running up and down the road in life that are members of Baptist churches, they don't want you saying nothing about that, or they're going to whole families just leave and be gone and all that business there. I don't guess we got anybody here that's pregnant out of wedlock. I do know we have one young lady that while they were gone on the cruise is that her brother wanted to give $30 for somebody to babysit her. And it was silent. And he said, okay, 50. Now, before you judge him and condemn him, you might ought to babysit her for a day. Brother Billy can tell you. At the hospital, she was cutting up. She's pretty comical and all that. He said, what is wrong with her? Well, we're just trying to give a little happiness and a little life, laughter up and down the road of life. I'm not talking about having a good time. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm talking about being up front and always about the Father's business. And if you go to having to get too sneaky and this and that with it, you're cruising for a bruising. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that say, preacher, I just want to say thank God for how good God's been to me. And I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to be able to look unto thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. Build a fence around, build protection around these minds of these young boys and girls and these men and women. And my dear God, you help us to look unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith. We'll thank you for it in advance for that in Jesus' name.